May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. So we have finally come to the celebration of the Trinity, three in one and one in three. Sometimes people see this Sunday with dread, because it's so difficult to understand. But yet, actually, it's so easy. It's so easy. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have three in one and one in three. How great is that? What an awesome God that we have. We have lived with resurrection hope during the Easter season. And we always live with resurrection hope, as I said before. And we accentuate that hope during the Easter season. And now we have had Pentecost, when we bring that hope out into the world through the Holy Spirit. And we have once again been refreshed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. We have been through the uncertainty and the questioning, as the disciples did during those first few weeks after the resurrection. It's what life is always about too, that uncertainty, that striving to know the mystery of God and the awesomeness of God. And as we grow in our faith, we continually question what we know and don't know. This is a journey that we're embarking on, and we never finish that journey. So at first, the disciples were expected to believe in the resurrection without seeing anything for themselves, just as we are meant to believe in the resurrection without seeing anything for ourselves. It wasn't until the penny dropped that they could believe and then tell the story. And even then, they were uncertain. I've had the luxury over the last few weeks during the Easter season of reflecting on John's Gospel, which also has the Holy Spirit breathing on the disciples. And there Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as our comforter, our guide, our advocate. The post-resurrection stories and John's Gospel give us the word to help us along the way, because we know that Jesus is always with us through the Holy Spirit. So, the disciples had that doubt and uncertainty in those first few weeks. And then they start looking forward to new beginnings and how the message is to be proclaimed in the world. And that's the same with Nicodemus. So you probably wondered why I was going on so long about the disciples and their doubts. We have that with Nicodemus when he comes to Jesus. And here, we have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Through Nicodemus asking the questions and Jesus answering them, we have this realization that the Trinity is about being born again, or as the translation that you have, and I think that's probably more correct, born from above. And that is about having a deeper understanding. It's quite exciting, really, because this passage just shows that a deeper understanding that we need to have of Jesus. It gives us that deeper understanding of Jesus. And it's about the realization that God is all things to all people through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we have Nicodemus coming at night time. That's not that's in chapter 2, but that's when Nicodemus comes. And the Gospel of John is probably indicating that he comes in the darkness and then he sees the light. John, the Gospel of John, is all about light and darkness and seeing the light. And that is what we do too. As we know Jesus more, we see the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And through the Trinity, through God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, get it right, Sue. Through the Trinity, we have that understanding. So after Pentecost, everything has changed. The disciples now have new vigor and new hope as the Holy Spirit descends upon them. And we have new vigor and new hope because the Holy Spirit refreshes and renews us every time we meet and every time we worship and every time we have that experience of God in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is about fire burning through us, setting us alight. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is about change, which is scary. The Holy Spirit can set us alight, so nothing is the same again. In the words in the Anglican prayer book, in Night Prayer, it expresses that very well. Living flame burn into us, cleansing wind blow through us. Fountain of water well up within us, that we may love and praise in deed and in truth. And we are also left with the words that Jesus said when preparing the disciples for his ascension. My peace I leave you, my peace I give you. That peace which Jesus gives the disciples and gives us, for we are now his disciples, is a gift from God. And along with the other fruits of the Spirit, it sets us apart. But we only have those gifts because God loves us and freely gives them. And as we experience the Holy Spirit time and time again. The Holy Spirit can be as gentle as a dove and as fearful as fire. And in the end, we always have those gifts, love, joy, and peace. We are blessed with those gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is what today is about, a joy that can only be experienced through doubt and fear, because we always have that. We cannot grow unless we question. And a joy that is there despite all that we go through. A joy which only comes through one's personal experience of Jesus. But nevertheless, a joy that we need to experience with others. And that's why we also meet today and celebrate. And why we meet every Sunday. For this is a day when the Holy Spirit can be poured afresh on us anew as members of the church. Greg Boyle at General Synod, I was lucky enough to see it live stream during the week, and I saw Penny there as well. Hello, Penny, if you're watching. Greg Boyle came from, I think it was Los Angeles, now I've got it wrong, I think, but he was brought over by General Synod, and in particular the Archbishop Don Tamahiri, because he deals with gangs in that area. It may have been New Orleans, but there's a whole lot of gangs there, there's something like 8 or 9. And he has set up this Homies Industries, that's what they call, but it's obviously not an industries. But they did have to send up businesses as well. They didn't have much success with the plumbers because people, of course, didn't want gang members with all these tattoos all over their face and all over their bodies in their place. They were frightened of them. But this is a place where they can be, and they can be at home, and they are accepted because God accepts everyone. And it was just mind-blowing hearing about his experience. But what amazed me was when he said, "Breathe in the Holy Spirit that delights in your being, and you breathe out the Spirit into the world because it needs it. The world needs us. The world needs our very presence." And God looks at you with breathless delight because you are who you are. So our experience of the Trinity may be earth-shattering or may be gentle experience, much like our experience of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is part of our experience as Trinity and each one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit flow in and out with one another, and because of that, they flow through our very being. It talks about living flame, flow through our being. That is what the Trinity is. And every extraordinary experience sparks from the ordinary. This is what Cassie Cross says, who is the director of Young Disciples at Hope Lutheran Church in Eagle, Idaho. "Every extraordinary experience sparks from the ordinary." That's when we see God. "There are moments that are dramatic and others that are mundane. Some of them may be spectacular, earth-shattering, heartbreaking, and more. But when we really take the time to reflect on what made us who we are right now, today, this moment, we will come up with the names of people who have filled our lives. Little things they said or did to us that they may not even remember today, but that stayed with us and changed us. In reflection, we will realize it was the mundane weekly habits and rituals that ordered our lives, thus shaping us into the people we are today. This truth is a hint to us that God, our awesome, all-knowing, omnipotent God, is right there with us, taking what might be the most ordinary of moments and breathing that little extra into it, so that over time it becomes something extraordinary. Flows through our being. God flows through our being. The Trinity flows through our being. I had a Pacific necklace. What's it called? Is it a lele? I can't remember. But I gave it to somebody who was in a home, and he had nothing apart from one picture, and I thought it would give him a bit of delight, so I gave it to him. But I used to wave it to show how the three in one flows together. It's a relationship, and it's a relationship of love. And no one better really explains this apart from Well, I mean, there's lots of theologians that do explain it well, but Richard Rohr, I think, explains it very well. Because Richard Rohr describes the movement of God as flow, flow through our being. To join God's movement is to step, jump, or dive into the flow of God's full self with our full selves. I've been looking after my beautiful granddaughter who's called Lucia, which means light in Italian. And she just keeps on diving, stepping, dancing, because she's that age. And it's about flowing through those movements. The tide of God's movement leads us to a way of life that is always growing, evolving, transforming, a way of life that is about unification, alignment, and action. It's hard to be moved from all that we know. This one body, this one life, our understanding of science and creation. Jesus calls us to move beyond thinking that we can put God in a box and gives us a different understanding of God, which is a Trinitarian way of being, the place where our bodies, minds, souls, and spirits meet, through him and with him and in him, as we say in the Great Thanksgiving. So it's about flowing through our being. The essence of God, our source of life, surrounds us. Often when we look back on our lives, we speak of the inevitability of God's hold on us, even if we do not know it at the time. I've often found that even when things are at the most difficult, especially when they're at the most difficult, God is there. To move forward, we become witnesses to the transformative power of the Trinity. Jesus doesn't just call us to live fully immersed in the abundant life. He calls us to live life and live life in all its fullness. Jesus knows we have difficulty looking outside the box. Jesus knows we are trapped by our need for tangible, provable facts. But Jesus doesn't stop challenging us. John's gospel, although complicated in many ways, takes us outside ourselves to think differently. We are called to join the movement. Richard Rohr. Again, despite ourselves, we are made witnesses. We are not witnesses of our own understanding, but of God's action. Movement in the world, for the world, receives a testimony given to us by the living Word who walked among us. Bear witness, wake up. Be moved with your full self, your emotions, your minds, soul, and strength. Rise up, join the movement of God, and breathe in that little extra that comes from the fullness of God with us. Breathe in the Holy Spirit that delights in your being, as Greg Boyle said, and you breathe out the Spirit into the world because it really, really needs it. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, present in all places and filling all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and dwell in us. Cleanse us from every impurity. Grant to us the dreams and visions you have promised, and make us messengers of the good news that you proclaim through Christ Jesus, so that through the power of your Spirit, Everyone, everywhere, may unite in one song of praise. Open our hearts to your living presence and turn our eyes towards your glory. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.